Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. To my right, we have a new inductee to Swinehood. His name is John Moorbacher. You want to say hello, John?
Hello, everybody. Great to be here.
He is on staff here at Evangel now, and he is the head of groups and discipleship. Across the table for me is Travis Hubert Williams. He is a regular on this show, maybe really the star of the show. And today we're going to be talking about closed windows. We started this kind of last week talking about these windows to our soul, places maybe where we got hurt, where we got angry, where we got wounded, and we bricked up the window to our soul. I've been in a few places where it's been bricked up before, and the windows are closed, and you walk in there, and there is just a stench. My dad and I were going out to a hunting camp, and it was a cement block hunting camp. And we walked in there, and just like the moisture, and it just like it felt like you're like living in a swamp. It was like moldy, musty, and gnarly, nasty. And we got a fire going in there, and it took the smell out. But it wasn't until we got some airflow and the fire going to dry things out a bit. And I think sometimes that's what happens with our hearts and our soul. They're moldy, they're musty, they're nasty. And what if God actually wants to open the window? What if He has windows to our souls that He really wants to open to give us breath, to give us life, to clean up some of the mess so that there's light coming in? And so today we're going to be talking about scripture, Bible reading, really. And I know for some of us, including us sitting here, sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. We start off with great intentions. I know for me, I'm like, I'm going to read the Bible through
in a
this
year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened, but it hasn't happened as often as I would like it to, or I get distracted day three.
Yeah.
Or usually when I get to Leviticus. And and yet there's something about the scripture, I think, that provides fresh air to our souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to talk about today, and how have we bricked that up and said, hey, we're going to live life how we want to live life and kind of figure it on our own, and yet God had this revelation for us, a special revelation for us to speak into our souls.
Yeah, there was a point where I was in college, and I call it my spiritual slump period, and I was doing stuff. I was going to church. I was involved. I was hanging out with a small group of guys. We were doing Bible study. There's accountability there. We were doing some really cool things, but it seemed like the windows to my soul had been boarded up. And I was reading. I mean, I was trying hard. I was trudging through that stuff. Like, I was committed to that plan. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my YouVersion year of the Bible app, but. And I just still felt like everything was boarded up. It was like they were boarded up. They threw concrete blocks in there, you know, chains around the door. And it took me a while before God actually started to crack that window to my heart. And so for me, there's, you know, I have that understanding of like you go through those periods, even when you're in God's word, you're in prayer, that you can still feel that moldiness inside your heart. And so what really turned the corner for me was surrounding myself with those guys, and like I fully disclosed how I was feeling and stuff. And the more that we dug into God's word together and they knew what was going on with me, that's how God began to crack that window and let the air, the stank air out and let the fresh air in for me. And it was a commitment thing. It was a dedication thing. And I think when we are committed like that, God can oftentimes use those things with His word and the people mm-hmm. that He's put in our life around us to help open those windows back up.
I think we live in a time, though, where people are a little biblically illiterate, and it's not in the very fabric of our culture and how we live. And so it becomes a little bit harder sometimes to understand the scripture. I remember as a 8-year-old getting my first Bible, like real Bible. It was a King Jimmy, and it was awesome. It was leather bound, beautiful thing. And, you know, the really feathery pages, not paper. I don't even know what that stuff's called. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it gold on the
oh,
on the
yeah.
outside?
Yeah, it was gold.
That's beautiful.
Red letters.
Did you have Bible tabs?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But I think one of the things that came for me was I started really fervently reading this thing, Christmas of 84, the roar of 84 for the Tigers. Go Tigers. But I think as I was roaring through the scriptures, you know, at a breakneck pace for an 8-year-old, I started to realize, I don't even know what this is about. And I was mm-hmm. starting to go, I don't know what this has anything to do with me. And I think I was starting with the wrong question. That's the hard part. It's like sometimes you don't have context of what's going on and you need help. But we live in a society where there are bazillions of helps that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
BibleGateway.com is probably one of the best for study tools and things like that that are free to you. You can get a lot of cuckoos out there that are interpreting Bibles too, but that one's pretty solid. But there's a guy in Acts chapter 8. The story is a guy from Ethiopia who comes to Jerusalem to seek spiritual guidance. He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading a portion of the scripture. And there's this early church leader by the name of Philip who comes to ask him a question. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And I think that's one of the dangers of reading the scriptures. The answer sometimes is no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what are some of your guys' tips on really getting context in that? Because the question shouldn't be, what does it mean to me? It needs to be, what does it mean to them, the first readers? Because it can't mean something different to us than it does to them. And so how do we understand what it means to them so we can understand what it means in the context for us?
One of the first things that I think about with that question is getting a good study Bible. It's a little bit thicker than a Bible all by itself, but what it does is it adds helpful notes at the bottom of the page, you know, so there'll be a marker that if you read something that's confusing or hard, you can look down at the bottom of the page and it'll give you a little explanation of what that means. And it does it for the whole Bible, which is really helpful. That's a good resource no matter where you're at in your understanding of scripture, your knowledge. You know, I have a couple of Bible degrees and I still like to read my study Bible so that if I forget, you know, what was the deal with this idea here that was shared that was difficult, or who was this character they're referring back to, I can go down and there's a quick note there. So that's
Elijah,
one.
Elisha, who
yeah,
is
right.
who is this?
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's confusing.
One of them burned things, yeah. One of them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Travis? Got any good tips?
I mean, that's the same thing. Like, so we've all got 4 young kids at home, and that first Bible that my daughter just got was her, or that wasn't her first one, but her first like study Bible. That's been super helpful mm-hmm. for her because she's not always coming up and like, "Dad, why did this guy do this? And what does this word mean?" I'm like, "Oh." But yeah, ask questions because there's weird, hard stuff in there. And sometimes I think when we start to get to that place, we're like, "All right, we're in this Christian circle now. We're expecting ourselves to know all this stuff when, you know, there are guys that studied the Bible for their entire mm-hmm. lives and are still figuring out how to put it all together."
Yeah, there's some good resources online. Got Questions.
A great one.
That's a good one. Really solid. Again, warning. You can get some crazies out there and you can get things to say anything you want that kind of fits your fancy. And I think that kind of leads me into number 2 point for me is, one is sometimes you don't understand it. The second is you might not want to be obedient to it. And that's the scary part about reading the scripture. All of a sudden, we think of it sometimes as rules, and we think of it as like God is kind of a buzzkill on these things. And it's really not. This is the creator of the world saying, "This is how this place works. This is how this mm-hmm. I've created you to be." And you're actually never more human than when you're actually following what he says and living this thing out. And I think that obedience thing is really key. Is sometimes we read it and we're trying to. People have called me Loophole Levi. I can loophole anything, and I think I try to do that sometimes when I don't actually like what it says, even though I do understand it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm glad that you hit on that, but that for me, for that story from college, as I worked through that spiritual slump, that drought in my life, God revealed to me that it was my heart that I wasn't fully giving him.
Mm-hmm.
It was those things where, I think it's Psalm, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I wasn't fully opening up myself to that. I was trying to still find those loopholes and live in that way. But it was so deeply stuck inside my heart that I wasn't even seeing it yet.
Yeah.
So God let that, his word shine that light. And it was like, "Dude, you're not living the way that you need to be. You're saying all these things, you're doing all this stuff, but you're still, the deep, dark corner of your heart still has the cobwebs, and we need to clean that out."
Yeah.
Old James says that, basically what you just said.
Yeah.
And he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." In their time, it was a very oral culture. They would read the scriptures in community together and kind of respond to that. And so he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law or the scriptures That gives freedom that and continues in it, not forgetting what they have read, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. Well, why are they blessed? Because it's the very best way to live, because the mm-hmm. creator of the world is telling you, this is how this place works.
Right, right. Yeah.
So those are a couple of dangers that I think that people jump into and misstep at times. The other thing is, I think we all grew up in the church. Yeah. You grew up in the church?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Since I was a little kid, for sure.
Yeah. You know, read your Bible, grow a read your Bible. What is it? Read your Bible. Do you guys remember that song?
Is that a Green, Steve Green?
No, you would stand up. You go, read your Bible.
I didn't go to that church.
I don't know that
and
one.
And grow, grow, grow. Okay, let me teach you guys this song today so you guys know this. But I think we think is it's the action of reading the Bible. And it's not the action of reading the Bible. It's the understanding and the obedience mm-hmm. to the Bible. And it's just like going to church. The sermon, people are like, oh, that was a good sermon. Well, number one, is that compared to the last one that was horrific? or what does that mean?
But it sucked last week.
Yes, this week, man. Woo,
you got
woo.
It. Right. You got it now.
But when someone says, hey, that really spoke to me, and this is what it did, the sermon is never the point. And reading the scripture isn't the point.
Right.
It's how does this inform who I am, my mm-hmm. identity in Christ, mm-hmm. and how do I actually live this thing out?
Yeah. One of the things when I have my daily devotional time that I always pray before I start reading is that the Holy Spirit will make the words that I'm reading alive in my mind and in my heart. Because I do believe that no matter, I mean, even we're talking about some weird stuff we'll find in Leviticus, there's ways that God can reveal who he is, who we are, things that we need to be aware of in our lives that need to change. And so that's one of the things that I always try to do when it comes to reading scripture privately is, okay, I need the Holy Spirit to bring these words to life for me. Because sometimes reading scripture, we walk away and we don't have that like, wow, I know exactly how I'm supposed to apply this. But I almost think there's like a relational aspect to it. My wife and I have been married for 10 years and I didn't get to know her just by hearing things about her. I had to spend time with her. And if you've been in a relationship for a long time, you know that a lot of those times are great and really rich, but there's also times where you're cleaning the house together or doing things that are just, you're together. It wasn't amazing, but you're together and it's a relationship building thing. I don't know if that takes away from some of this, but it feels a little bit like sometimes my daily devotion time where I'm reading scripture is a part of my relationship building with God. I'm giving him time, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's the not yet principle for me. Like, I have no idea what this is for right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not dealing with that yet. And then, like, you're talking with somebody or something happens, a situation, you're like, oh, that's what that was for. Yep. And, like, light bulbs go on and that scripture enters back in and it's like training and teaching and rebuking and correcting and pushing us, turning us maybe even another way toward looking at the promises of God, looking that he is good, that he is kind, and that he has these things for us, and that he's our provider. All of those things that we kind of sometimes get lost in our day-to-day activities. Yeah. And sometimes it's just like somebody says something, and it's not even for me. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's not for me, but it's like all of a sudden I'm like wise sage.
Yeah.
And I get like through the glory of the revelation of God, I get glory. And I kind of like that. So, yeah.
I'm glad you can admit that.
Yeah. Why shouldn't we glory in that? Yeah.
I think sometimes too, where I can get hung up on this in my personal stuff is what's my intent going into it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to put together a talk, you're really looking at it from more mm-hmm. of an academic side and you're like, all right, what can I pull out of this to teach this? Rather than like God, like you said, let your word come alive so that it can speak to me in my heart and where you need to call me up and where you need to call me out. Or the devotion thing. Like I said, my college experience was I was doing it because I needed to do it mm-hmm. is what I was supposed to do. Like, you're going to grow by getting into the word. Well,
read your Bible, pray every day.
I should have sang that song. I'd have been better off, man.
It's my favorite song. Yeah.
Did you know that one?
No.
Okay. Like, now you're making me feel left out. If you know that one, you're holding out.
I'll show you the motions after this.
I know the B-I-B-L-E. We could do that song.
Yeah, right? There we go.
the book for you.
But yeah, just like trying to do it because it's like, this is my mission. This is my duty. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like you said, God, I need your spirit here. Let these page, let the words off these pages come alive and speak to my heart and mold me and shape me and transform me and knock all the dust off of here and chip away the areas that need to be chipped. Like, reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that when you're reading the scripture, sometimes it's dry or sometimes we can be disengaged in those things. One of the things that for me, one of my biggest distractions is because I write sermons for a living, is I read it and I start sermonizing everything. And it drives me crazy. I'm
You're
like,
coming up with illustrations
That's so good right there. I can put that in. And so what I found to really help me is Sound of Time. That's right. And so I have, what's the Bible app?
YouVersion.
Yeah, YouVersion Bible app. But you could just say Bible app on your Alexa, and it'll say, what do you want? Do you want a devotional for the day? Do you want to read something? And I'll just put, like, read the book of, like, Matthew. And it'll start just reading scripture to me. And I'm just sitting there in the sauna, little steam coming off. It's beautiful. And hearing the word of the Lord in the sauna is, you know, and then I have these great conversations with God. For me, that's really helpful, and that's been really helpful to be able to connect with God in that way. And I think everyone does it differently. I don't think there's, like, one special formula, but that's my formula that I really have to listen to it. It's someone else reading it because I sermonize the crud out of it when I read it. And it's like, you can't, you do it every day. It's like, I can't stop myself. Why am I doing that?
Yeah, I love that. When I was in college, I had the New Testament on CD. I had a summer job where I was mowing lawns at a camp. So I literally was on a John Deere tractor with five mower decks behind me, mowing fields for 8 hours a day, every day. And I remember I listened to the whole New Testament in like a couple of weeks. It was such a rich experience to hear God's word. So I think that's and there's much easier resources now. Like you said, YouVersion. There's some other ones out there too. Yeah.
I think for me, it's finding that space where I've got to turn off my phone. It's got to be quiet.
Sauna time.
I know.
You can't
bring
your phone
and I don't have
sauna.
A sauna though. So just setting aside that time, like, no distractions, because otherwise for me, it's like, oh, look, squirrel. I'm like the ADD dog. Like, oh, we're going over here. What's that? And then, you know, you work through some of that stuff, and it's just harder for myself to just calm the voices in my head. Maybe I need help. But just calm all that other stuff down, the thoughts, the distractions, the things, and all of it. And so, yeah, finding that space to be able to go have some quiet, no distractions, just specifically set aside for it.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of Lectio Divina, which is really means divine lecture. It's really just reading a passage of scripture. Like, sometimes we're just plugging through, and we're just like, got to get Bible reading in. And so I will read as fast as I can.
Yeah.
And this is really slowing down and allowing the Spirit of the Living God to pick out some words for you and really pray over those things and go, what does this actually mean for me? I don't know right now, but Lord, help me to understand this.
Yeah.
And part of what the scripture tells us is that, and what you were praying, like, Spirit, help me, it illuminates or brings a light to those things that we need to understand. And so somewhat, even when we're reading, we're like, it's like we have a reading partner.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the remedial reading program and there's someone helping us again. And that's the Spirit, but it's the Spirit of the Living God, which is pretty awesome that he's doing that for us. You know, I think people get in trouble. You get your Bible bobs in church when you have information without transformation. I don't care how much you know about the Bible. I care how much you're going to obey the Bible. So you can know a little and be transformed by the little bit you know. What does Jesus say? It's all summed up in what?
Love the Lord your God.
Yeah. With all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second of these is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think you should go farther than that.
Yeah, right.
But I think if we did that, boom, blow the world up with that.
Yeah, it's not like, clearly it's not like we've mastered that point.
Right, so you don't have to know everything.
You bring up a good point. You don't always have to follow the plan. You don't always have to read the whole book or the whole chapter or whatever you set out for. Read until God speaks to you and then dwell on that.
Yeah.
Let your heart just kind of soak in that space there. And that's really the most times that God has really been closest to me through his word, that he's really revealed, like, hey, this is what you need in your life right now, or these are the areas that you need to change.
here's maybe something you shouldn't do, I think, is just jump around one verse over here, jump over here to another verse where you have no context. And, you know, we can get confused really quickly about what's really being said if we do a lot of that without reading the verses around a particular verse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we often will tell people to start in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I really like Luke. Reading Luke and then you read Acts right after it.
Yeah.
It's like you're like, whoa, this is like the story of the gospel. This is the story of the church. Mm-hmm. And then I will always say go to Romans because then you kind of have a really good concept of what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the Revelation, it's a story about God, but it's how our story enters into that story. Yeah. And he's calling us by name and wants us to be his kids and wants us to be in relationship with him. And every time somebody says yes to Jesus and starts to walk in those ways, it's this incredible story because it's God's story plus their story.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, listeners, if your Bible is dusty or you don't have a Bible, you got the internet. I mean, they're all over there.
We can hook you up, too.
And we can hook you up, too. We'll give you a free one. Give us a call. We just want to encourage you to open your Bibles because it has a window into your soul. There are things you probably don't even know are dirty and clustered in there and collecting dust that you could totally part with and totally be free because that's what our God wants to do. He wants to free us. He wants us to live in a life that is filled with abundance, is what Jesus says. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles. If you have never read the Bible or you haven't read in a long time, start in the Gospels. Read Luke, read Acts, read Romans. And I think as you read those things, it will start to transform you. It's not just about information. It's really about the transformation that the Spirit does through the work that he's doing through the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you guys liked what we talked about today or you missed one of the previous episodes, you can come and check us out on our podcast, Evangel Houghton Podcast on Apple, or search for us on Google Play. You can always go to our website, evangelup.org, and find previous episodes there as well. So if you love Pearls and Swine, come on over and check us out. And if you got any questions or comments, you can email me, Travis, at evangelup.org. Thanks for tuning in with us, and we'll catch up with you next time.